This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, this is Rita Liu, and you're listening to Her Vantage and Enterprise. And Her Vantage is where we speak to women of influence and leadership. Today's guest practices carrying an adult contemporary sound that is soulful and contemplative. That's her music, of course. Yet deals with universal themes of life and love to which anyone can relate. So today on the show, we have with us singer, songwriter, and entrepreneur, plus yoga instructor, Atelia Harod.
Hi, good morning.
So nice to see you
nice
again, Atelia.
Nice to see you.
You know, we're going to talk about your life story.
Sure.
Okay. And also music and yoga and
cool.
business, right?
I've got so much to tell.
When was the first time you debuted as a singer?
Okay, it was in 1996. I came out with this album called Sanka, produced by Ruslan Aziz. It took me such a long time because, I started singing when I was 9, singing jingles and all that. And I did this commercial for Coca-Cola in 1986. Ooh. I was 12 at that time.
Okay.
So I was very eager to start my career, but my mom was always like, no, you cannot, because you need to study and get a degree and then you will know what life is all about, so you won't be like me, So it took me such a long time to come up with my first album. And then the second one came, I think, about 7 years after that. And last year, I came out with my third album. So,
which is called Number 3.
Number 3.
And we'll talk about the music as well. But of course, we also have to talk about your mom. Right?
Of course.
Salamia Hassan, right? Mm-hmm. And how, what kind of influence she had.
Oh my God, my mom was a very strict mother. Well, she is still. She brought the two of us
Doesn't
up.
Matter how old you are. She's still your mother.
Yeah, and I will still always still be her little girl. And she's very garang. And she made sure that we, you know, get our education and made sure that we were very disciplined in everything, especially when it comes to timing. And she put me through ballet classes and piano classes and... But she didn't allow me to cut an album because, she wanted me to really learn about life and and then decide whether I want to become a singer or not. Because I will always remember that she says that you're born with the voice and you will always have the voice. So take your time and, you know, don't rush into things. And she's very, very strict.
Okay.
And but I'm actually very thankful for that.
Why did she say hold back on the album?
Because she didn't know, I'm pretty sure she knew that I didn't know what I wanted then.
Okay.
Yeah, so I love all sorts of music. Mm. So she wanted me to be sure what kind of music I wanted to do, and she wanted me to write my own songs and be very independent music-wise. And basically, what she did was she won the Bakat TV in 1970s, early 70s, and that's all she ever did. She sang, and she sang in clubs, and it was quite a hard life for her. And I think she didn't want me to go through that. Okay. So she wanted me to basically get something to fall back onto, get a degree and work and experience all that. And then...
If it's really what you want, you will persist.
Yeah, and I ended up where I wanted to be.
Okay, so and then what degree did you have?
In advertising, in marketing. So I did economics and I failed terribly because,
it wasn't your thing.
Wasn't my thing. Mm. So I stopped economics and then I went to Lim Kok Wing and I did my advertising and I basically was really, really good.
Did you practice? Did you work at it?
Yes, I did. So I was a producer for TV commercials for 10 years. I worked with Joe Hashem, an amazing man, and he taught me so much. So I worked in a production house, produced TV commercials, learned so much about discipline, being on time and problem solving. And so that taught me a lot. So I'm glad I went through that experience. So now I kind of like, hey, I know my thing,
okay.
You know.
You know, I think one of the things that you've got staying power, so does your mom, right? I mean,
yeah.
So, and I think when you look at what's happening in the music industry, what do you think is lacking? Is it discipline? Is it we become too diva-ish? What is it?
That as well as I think inconsistency and also not knowing what you want and listening to other people. Mm. For me, if I go into a studio, I need to know the songs and I need to... Because I write my own songs, so I sing from my heart.
Yeah.
So somehow or other, I think the sincerity reaches out to people and that makes you stay in the industry for a long time. I don't like to be like out there so much and, you know, make a boom and then be quiet. I just... I'm happy just being consistent and, you know, not so glamorous, not on TV all the time. But as long as I get my corporate gigs and I use that money to run my business, I'm happy, you know? So I'm that sort of girl who is very traditional that way.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so you say you write your own songs.
Yeah.
And this is not your mom, though, where you have these skills from. Where do you learn to write songs?
I think it's from my grandmother.
Uh-huh.
Because she used to write a lot of asli songs, like this song called Patah Hati. It's a very iconic song. And she writes lyrics as well. Yeah. And she used to dance and she used to act.
So quite radical for that time.
Yeah. So, yeah, and I think I got that from her. Because my mom is kind of shy in front of the camera. She's all that on stage, but she can't act. Sorry, Ma. But she's got 11 brothers and sisters. All of them play an instrument and all of them sing. So I guess it runs in the family.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So you said your musical influences, right? What sort of music do you personally like? I mean, mom obviously was an influence, but the kind of music you personally like?
I love all kinds of music, including country and dangdut, like seriously. But when I write, it has a tendency to go into R&B and jazz, you know? So I think my voice suits that kind of music as well. Mm. I'm not an acrobatic singer. I don't do a lot of ad-libs. I'm not like a Mariah Carey or a Salamia Hassan or a Whitney Houston. Mm. So I sort of like write simple songs. And I'm not sure how to categorize genres, but whatever that comes out is usually kind of jazzy and R&B-ish.
All right. So, and then your venture into yoga. How did that happen?
Well, my dad told me a long time ago that if you want to be happy in life, you have to do what you love. And you know you have to love what you do. So those are the two things that I really, really super love, which is singing and practicing yoga. So I've been practicing for 13 years and I've been teaching for 4 years. And it gives me this amazing satisfaction, even though I don't really make a lot of money from it. But yeah.
Okay.
It keeps me going every day. It makes me happy. It puts a smile on my face just to share experience and just to, you know, when you teach, you feel like, ooh, you know, you're doing something right for the world. I know it sounds cheesy, but yeah.
That's how you feel.
That's
right?
How
and
I feel.
It makes you happy as well. And it's a lovely combination of your yoga and your singing. And it's
I would love to do that too. You know, I've never done this before, teach yoga and sing at the end of the class, but I would love to do that one day.
Why not? Okay.
Right?
And so what kind of yoga do you personally practice?
Okay, I took my TTC or teacher training certification 4 years ago in Koh Samui. And it was a vinyasa flow, which is vinyasa is actually a flow. And I love vinyasa because it is actually a flow and a combination and a connection that you do with your body and your breath. Mm-hmm. So it's a continuation of a flow. It's kind of like a dance. Mm. So, yeah. I'm dancey that way.
Okay. So and that's the kind of thing that you wanted to do. And of course, you ventured into starting your first studio as well?
Yeah. My first studio, my studio is called Yoga One That I Want Studios. Mm. And the first one is in Damansara Perdana. And then I started one more in Shah Alam and then one in Wang Semaju. And then now it has gone to Kuching and Johor and everything happened organically. Not really a business person in such a way where I plan and everything. It just happened, you know?
Okay.
So I get calls from people who says that, hey, I've got a gym, but I've got an empty room. Would you like to run the room as a yoga studio and basically manage the schedule, manage the teachers and all that? So I've been doing that. And it's been amazing. For the past 4 years, I managed to have 13 studios. I can't believe it myself. So I try to teach in every one of them. Of course, not the Kuching and the Johor one, but the ones in KL. So I teach like 4 classes a day.
Right.
So it keeps me going and keeps me happy.
Okay, so what have you learned about yourself as a businesswoman? We'll talk about that in just a moment.
Cool.
I'm here with Atelia Haron. You're listening to Her Vantage and Enterprise, BFM 89.9.
Be firmly motivated. BFM 89.9.
This is Her Vantage, and of course, Her Vantage is where we speak to women of influence and leadership. If you've just joined us, I'm here with Atelia Haron, and Atelia is a singer, songwriter, entrepreneur, with a yoga business as well, Yoga One. Very interesting how there's singing and then there's yoga, and one day you're going to merge that both in the lesson. Now you've got 13 yoga studios, mm-hmm. and you didn't foresee that.
No, not at all, not at all. I just wanted to have, like, how it started was when I used to do yoga at home, and I was staying in this really super small house, and I invited friends to do it with me, and I was not certified. So what we did was we watched YouTube and we watched yoga videos and we did it together, and 5 friends became 10, and my fat cat was not happy about it. So I sort of like rented another unit close to my house, and then I started hiring teachers, and then I realized, oh my God, I need to pay the teachers and I need to pay the rent. So I said, might as well take a cert and teach myself. So that's how it started. And yeah, and I still have the same friends coming over, and it's been wonderful. So we get about 40 to 60 students a day because we've got 3 classes a day. So we, yeah, okay, it's all right.
And what have you learned about yourself as a business person along the way?
Oh my God, I'm such a hippie girl that I needed a partner to take care of that financial stuff, because all I did was like, hey, come for yoga, you know, and yeah, whatever, you don't have to pay, and just let's just be happy. So I'm not good in that part. So what I got was my partner, Shireen, and we went to school together, and our mothers went to school together as well. So we've been friends for such a long time, and she's my manager, and she's also my business partner, so she takes care of the business stuff. So what I do is I do the PR, okay. I do the postings, and I get myself out there, and when I do my corporate shows, I'll go like, hey, you know what, I teach yoga as well, I can teach your company, blah, blah, blah. So that's what I do. Right. So it's kind of random what I do, but it's been working out kind of well, actually.
Okay. And so now with 13 outlets, do you still not have a plan, like how many more I want?
I want to franchise it, actually, one day. So hoping that someone would say, hey, I want to buy some shares and give you a couple of millions.
Okay, you're open to that.
I'm very open to that. Yeah.
Okay. So you see that obviously beyond Malaysian shores as well. Hopefully.
Yes. Yes. I would love to one day have like a big yoga studio to organize retreats and organize teacher training certs and all that, because now Malaysians would go to either India
or Thailand
or Singapore, and we don't have that here.
They go to Singapore. Yes. We need 1 year.
Yeah. So why not, you know? So I'm looking at that direction. So trying to get some investors in and
there's no timeline. I mean, like, sometimes you just let things happen organically.
Yeah, yeah. That's how it's been working out for me. So I'm just gonna let it be and just like, woohoo, whatever.
and I kinda get you as well. Sometimes when you force things, right?
Exactly. When you try too hard. TTH.
Right. Yeah, and then sometimes when it just happens, like, okay, I guess the timing is right.
Yeah.
Right? You just let it
happen. I believe that. So.
Now, you've got number three, because it's your third album. What was the time?
So creative.
What was the time like between number two and number three?
Okay, 5 years, actually, Frida. It was a long time because, like I said, I'm a very traditional person. I don't like to come out with singles. I love coming out with full albums, with the CD where you see the inlay and I'm very, very involved in the studio part of thing because I married a sound engineer.
Okay.
And my mom worked in a studio for the longest time. So when after school, I would go back to my mom's studio and wait for her and roll cables and all that. So I've always been, you know, inspired or interested in the whole process of writing songs. Songs, getting the bass line in, mixing it, and mastering it. So I was there throughout my whole album. So we mixed the album in Real World Studios, a studio that belongs to Peter Gabriel and Phil Collins. So that was like a trip for me. Yeah. So things like that made me happy. So yeah. So that's why it took such a long time.
Okay. So, and then, of course, in terms of publicity, you do whatever you have to, gigs and things. Of course, it's available on Spotify and all that, right?
It's on Spotify. It's on Apple Music. It's on Juke. So, and I also printed like 500 copies for people like me. And I sell them at my yoga studio.
Okay.
And it's been distributed by Warner Music. Thank you. And so far there's been a lot of requests for the physical album.
Right.
So we still have people like that. So yay!
Okay, and that's the thing, right? You took 5 years. You weren't in a hurry. What's so unique about this album? What's the theme behind number three?
Okay, my first single is called Bahagiaku. It's all about happiness. It's all about positivity. It's all about, you know, lifting each other up. And I have this beautiful duet with Adiba Noor, and it's called Sandaranku, and it's all about girl power, you know, being strong for each other. So I think this album portrays how I am now. And yeah, because my first album is called Sankar. Sankar, like, you know, so ironic, right? So at that time I was working and I was deciding whether I should stop my job and become a full-time singer and blah, blah, blah. And second album is called Indah. That's when I fell in love and got married. And yeah, it's actually a journey of my life.
Okay.
And number three, it's all about happiness and being woohoo.
Okay, so you, so there wasn't much thought. It's the third album.
Yeah, I do. Yeah, so the fourth one would be 3.1, I think, because four is not really a good number.
Four not
like. What do you think? What do you think?
3.1. 3A. Okay, so when you look at what's happening for 2018, are there some concrete plans already that you've got for 2018?
Okay, I'm in my 40s already and I'm dying to get a baby.
Okay.
So we're going to get into that. So I'm not sure whether I'm going to go and try IVF or something like that. But okay. Yeah, I really love kids and that is my main focus now.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for sharing that. And okay, so anything else that you want to talk about? I mean, you're happy with the business and in ultimately getting the, you know, hopefully we will be certifying yoga instructors as well. So again, you just want to let it happen organically. There's no 2020.
Well, with Shireen around, my partner, she's working on that part. So she's working, she's looking for funding, fund managers and all that. So we'll see what happens. So hopefully by the end of this year, we'll get something going, you know. So other than that, I want to perform more. And we toured Indonesia with the album to promote number three. And we went to Sabah, Sarawak, and we did a couple of places in KL as well, and also Semenanjung. So I want to do more of that.
Right.
I actually want to go to Japan.
Okay.
I want to go to Japan, like, so much, because their appreciation for my kind of music is really good there, so I want to do that. So,
okay, now if you look at the music industry, I guess what would you like to see things improve or change?
Oh my god! So if you look at like the YouTubers, right? They have like 14 million views, and I'm so sorry to say this, but the songs are not really, you know, good.
Okay.
But it's all about trends nowadays. And I really wish that we'd go back to, you know, the time when Zainal came out with his album, Sheila came out with her album. It was amazingly mixed and it was done on like proper consoles and proper studios. Now everything is done at home.
Right.
So you can actually hear that, and I would like that to be improved, you know. So yeah, it's the quality of music now.
Right. Yeah. Right, and then to go beyond trends and everything, and
because we really have a lot of amazing talents here. Because I was just at No Black Tie 2 days ago, and I was looking at all these jazz performers. They're just so amazing, but they're not out there,
right?
You know, and we have so many amazing singers, like, who's not out there. So people who are out there, I don't know. I guess their marketing skills are really good.
Right. And at the end of the day, I suppose, I personally feel that when the music is good, right, that's when you stand the test of time.
I agree. Yeah, then, you can have 14 million viewers, but you'll just be out there for 3 months, so...
Yeah, and at the end of the day. So anyway, it's been a fantastic journey for you, and I'm sure it will continue to be.
Thank you very much.
A wonderful journey. So there's number three, and we don't know when 3A will come out. So look up
another 5 years, probably.
And all the best with all your plans.
Thank you.
I've been singing to Atile Haron. You've been listening to Her Vantage and Enterprise, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.